So for practical purposes, you talked about other regimens. What specifically would you be likely to recommend to a woman with node-positive disease who's in her 50s, for example?
We use TCH until we see that it is inferior and the safety profile doesn't make up for that inferiority. That's what we'll use.
What about the patient who has node-negative disease? Again, practical decision-making, particularly for patients with smaller node-negative tumors. Can we anticipate the relative risk model is going to go down into that population?
I would think so, and I would think so based on the biology of the disease, that we know that when the HER2 alteration is present, it's a more aggressive disease. Now, that has to be weighed against the fact that if you get a patient who has a smaller disease, what's the likelihood of cure from the initial therapy, the surgery and the radiation therapy?
And the hormonal therapy if they're ER positive.
Exactly. What we know based on data that's out there already is that you do better as you get smaller. My sense is we also know that there's a subpopulation of patients that are HER2 positive that aren't cured even if they have very small tumors and they go out and progress. Treating with Herceptin in the metastatic setting versus treating with Herceptin in the adjuvant setting clearly isn't as advantageous, I don't believe, based on data we already have. So my feeling is that we're dealing with a relatively benign drug used correctly. It's an enormously expensive drug. That has to be put into context. But that we have the two goalposts set. We know the drug is effective in adjuvant disease now. We know the drug is effective in metastatic disease. Between those two goalposts, I think it can be very effective for any of the patients where there'll be benefit. So those patients who have small primary tumors that have escaped, and we know that exists, and it's more likely to happen in a HER2 positive population, I think there can be benefit.